Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly one-hour expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times in which we live, because the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
And welcome to The Watchman as we continue on our study of the end times. However, we every once in a while take a deviation in accordance to what I feel led to speak about, but also in accordance with what I believe that the Lord wants to teach people, even as we proceed with all this end time. Now, last time I promised that we are going to talk about the Antichrist, and we're going to get deep into that subject and probably trying to see who it is, and by looking at the signs, what does the Bible say about the Antichrist, and then who could it be? Does it, because there are so many fields of thought really in regard to that area. Some people believe he comes from Europe, definitely, because that's the revived Roman Empire. Some people believe he's going to come from the Islamic world, and of course there are other people who believe he's just going to be a world leader and he doesn't have to come from any particular place. However, the Bible has a very strong direction in regard to the Antichrist. But we're not going to talk about that now, because I feel that we have, after what we spoke about last time, I feel led to speak about something different, something different from what we spoke about last time, but also away a bit from, you know, the end time, as I continue to teach people things that are going to be of benefit to you in these times. So we spoke last week about hearing the voice of God, how to hear and how to be led by the Holy Spirit. I spoke just a few things. I didn't go into details, but I told you how important it is to listen to that inner intuition inside you, and how it is the biggest guide of the Holy Spirit to everybody. And even regardless of how far you develop in listening to God, there will never be a more authoritative voice than that inner intuition. How do you feel about it? Do you feel peace about something? Are you getting into something for which you have no peace? If you have no peace, then that is the Holy Spirit through your spirit telling you that do not do it, because your spirit has the Holy Spirit, and your spirit can see ahead and can see pitfalls. So do you use it in your daily business? If you meet somebody for the first time and he comes and gives you a wonderful business idea, do you just depend on your head, or do you depend on your intuition? You can learn how to depend on your intuition, and you cut out all the mistakes. You stop making mistakes. You stop getting into deals that will make you lose either time or money, or both in most cases. That's what they do. Now, I'm hearing somebody wrote me an email saying, somebody called Timothy says, "Dear brother in Christ, it was my first time to listen to your program. Thanks for the message. Several times I've fallen in a trap of deals that I thought would change my life, but most times I felt like there's two people inside me arguing. One says that it's not a good deal, while the other says it's your way out, it's your big break, you should follow it. But then there's one that says it's not a good deal. So at the end, I have fallen into a trap which robs me of my money, but today you've taught me how God speaks to me. Please, I've been a born-again Christian for 3 years. I feel bad when people speak in tongues, yet I can't, and nobody teaches me how to speak in tongues. I actually answered this gentleman and told him to first of all get scriptures that speak about tongues, because it is a promise of God to every believer. Every believer. Of course, there are some people who choose not to speak in them because they follow denominations which say that tongues ended back then, but that is false. That is totally, totally false, and it robs you of a very important aspect of of dealing with God, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that we do not know how to pray, but the Spirit helps us to pray, and by praying according to the will of God. Now, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and I don't know what's going to happen the next day, but when I pray in tongues, because the Holy Spirit knows what I ought to be praying for, he helps me pray that way in tongues, so that by the time I reach tomorrow, I have already prayed for everything about tomorrow when I was praying yesterday in tongues. You understand? So I have my tomorrow settled because I prayed yesterday in tongues, and if I prayed with my mind, I wouldn't know what to pray about. maybe there was the devil was planning to raise something, maybe steal something of mine. I don't know. The Holy Spirit knew, so he prayed about it through me, through tongues. Now, if you follow a denomination that does not believe in praying in tongues, it is in the Bible, and we pray in tongues, and it is very important. Not to go to heaven or things like that. You will go to heaven whether you speak in tongues or not, as long as you believe in Jesus Christ. But it is important for your guidance while here on earth, and to pray effectively and be powerful in the way that God designed for you to be. Okay, and it's all over the scriptures. It's in Romans chapter 8, it's in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 14, all those it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 rather, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, all those that speak about spiritual gifts. And you cannot develop all the other gifts until you start with the tongues, because the tongues that open up your spirit to start, you know, receiving all the other wonderful gifts that actually God has in store for his children. Gifts like prophecy, gifts like interpretation of tongues and things like that. So I told this gentleman in my response that find scriptures that speak about tongues. First of all, read them, meditate on them, and believe that you have a right, you have a divine right to speak in tongues. Then afterwards, pray for it. When you have the faith for it, and you receive it, it's just that simple. But anyhow, I wanted to read this, and I wanted to read this and tell you that God does actually speak to us in almost all everyday life. And I told you how. Now, when you hear two voices inside you, if you are at a decision making time, if you are at crossroads and you hear two voices inside you, you learn how to hear which one of them is the voice of your spirit and which one is the voice of your mind. First of all, I have to clear it here that your spirit is, or if you're born again, your spirit is always in tune with the Holy Spirit. There is never any single time when your spirit and the Holy Spirit differ in opinion. They don't. But your mind can differ and your body can differ. That's why the Bible says whoever is born of God does not sin. It means, because it is the spirit that is born of God, as Jesus told Nicodemus. When Nicodemus came to him, he told him, unless you're born again, then you know what Nicodemus said, can somebody go to his mother's womb? Then Jesus says, no, that's not what I'm talking about. He says, whatever is born of flesh is flesh, whatever is born of spirit is spirit. Now, when you get born again, you're born of spirit, and your spirit is in tune with the Holy Spirit. You are one spirit with God. That's what actually the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. Whoever is joined with God is one spirit with him. When he's talked, is one spirit with him. So you are one spirit with, your spirit and the Holy Spirit are in sync at all times. So what your spirit says is always the right thing. It never is wrong. But of course, you have to separate between your spirit and your mind. And because we have been brought up to think and do everything with our minds right from the moment you entered school. Actually, when you are born, everything is done in your mind. You go to school, they pump your mind with all this material. So your mind is so active, and your spirit, usually, unless you've developed it, is so quiet. So you have to learn how to make your spirit louder than your mind. And sometimes that requires you making your mind quieter. And so you have to separate the two. Now, often when you have two voices inside you, one speaking this, the other speaking the other, one is the voice of your, especially when you're at decision time, one is the voice of your mind, the other is the voice of your spirit. Now, so many times you will follow your mind thinking it's your spirit, and you'll fall into problems. But don't despair. Eventually, through practice, you will learn how to know which one is your spirit and which one is your mind, and you will learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. It is a process of learning. And remember, God is so interested in teaching you. He wants you to learn more than you want to learn. He is more interested in you hearing him than you actually are in hearing him. Okay, because he is the father who wants you to learn his language. Just like every parent wants his child to learn the language that we speak. So you teach him, you tutor the kid when they are learning how to speak, because you are interested in, because you know they will need that language all their lives. Now, the Holy Spirit is so interested in teaching you how he speaks. So just know that you have a partner, somebody who is wants to teach you. Have that in mind. Know that you are not alone. Know that God wants you to hear him. So every time you step out to say, I want to know how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, you bring a smile on his face. He says, okay, you want to know? Very good. Now let's start. I want to teach you. and he is the good teacher. Remember, that's what Jesus said. So I just had to do that now. But today I'm talking about something different. And I just like to want to read some testimonies that were sent here to me before I get into the subject for today. That was just a recap of what we spoke about last time. And that's so important for everybody. Learn how to distinguish those two voices inside of you. Now, here somebody says, somebody called Irene says, good day. She says that my teachings on giving and receiving, sowing and reaping, opened up my eyes to the religion I had been bound in. For months, I asked myself why I was constantly in lack, yet I was faithfully tithing. Every month, I would tithe with the hope that something changes. When I listened to your message, I cried on my desk. Well, wow, that's interesting. And man, I think the greatest deception in the church today has been about the whole tithe thing and how there is a law that you should tithe in your local church. Of course, it is good to tithe in your church, but only if it follows certain principles. But there is no such law that you actually, as a matter of course, have to tithe in your church. And in any case, if the church is not following those principles, what are you doing there? Okay? The biggest problem in Christianity today is religion. You are going to the same place, listening to the same message. It is not building you, but you continue going there. Now, what is the purpose of going there if it is not building you? If you went to a restaurant and they gave you food and it was not good food, would you go there tomorrow and then the next day and then the next day? But when it comes to faith, people become religious. You go to a church, the word is not building you. You are not being fed. You are not getting satisfied, and you still go there the next day out of religion, and the next day, and the next day. I mean, please, just use, if it is not working, I mean, when you get saved, you're not supposed to get rid of your common sense. If it is not working, if something is not working, then seek to change it. Ask God, why am I not increasing? Why don't I see an increase? What is the problem here? Don't do anything religiously. That you just do it and do it and do it. And of course, people encourage you to do it religiously. And then when it's not working, then they start telling you that there is something wrong with you, which is what they always do. And, so she said that here you tithe in place regardless of the character of the pastor. You just continue tithing, blah, blah, blah. I'm still reading now from what Irene sent me. Then I remembered what Prophet Elvis shared when he went to bless a church financially. And just as he was about to remove the envelope, the Lord told him that, if you sow, you will see the measure of corruption that you reap that will hit your finances. Now, this is what people do not understand. Now, here is this gentleman who was saying he went to a church which he used to attend long time ago, but the pastor had gone on a very condemning, had started preaching a gospel of condemnation and what, and had cut down everybody. And the church was in dire need, and even the people, everybody fled because the message was wrong. Okay? Now, but because he once went there and out of nostalgia, he goes back there and he has a seed, a very big seed, which he wants to bless the church with. But as he's about to remove the money, the Lord tells him, don't dare give that money to this place because you are going to reap a lot of corruption. Because when you give to a place, you reap the corruption that is in that place. You just understand that. Don't just give up. Just because somebody comes and tells you, we have a need, we are doing this, we are doing this. You know that you will reap either good or bad. So if you know that the person who is, and usually the people who are not straight and what, put a lot of pressure on people to give, and they actually, you end up giving out of compulsion, which the Bible says is, not right. Now, what I'm saying is this. So, she remembered that story, which we had, because we attended the same fellowship, and so she made a conscious decision that she will never give for the sake of giving. Now, this is very good. This is very good. Don't give for the sake of giving. You don't have any money to waste. I don't know about you, but I don't have any money to waste. When I give to the cause of God, I am sowing. Okay? I am sowing and I expect to reap. Because God promised me that when I sow, I reap. I don't give out of religion. So if I get money and I give it to a cause that is of God, I expect to reap. Of course, that's different from giving school fees and what. That I'm spending money on people who I'm supposed to take care of. But when I am giving to a cause of God, because God does not need my money, He is the cattle on a thousand hills are His. I give it because He promised me, if I give, I will receive. Now, if I don't receive, and I give again and again and again and again. 1 year I'm not receiving. I don't continue giving. I stand and say, why am I giving in this place and not receiving? Then I realize there is something wrong, because I expect to receive. I don't give out of religion. So now this is the whole thing. So this lady says, and so she says, every dime that comes out of my wallet must connect with a ministry that will cause me to increase. Very good. Now you are beginning to learn how prosperity works. There are ministries that cause an increase, and there are ministries that cause a decrease or stagnation. So if you have been giving to a ministry and you see decrease or stagnation, stop. Stop. Of course, not after 1 month or 2 months. You understand? There has to be patience, because faith has to be mixed with patience. The Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 4. But if after a long period you're seeing nothing, you're giving, your tithe is a seed. Your tithe is not a tax, it's a seed. And seeds, every farmer who plants a seed expects a return. Okay? So if something is not happening, find out why is it not happening. Now, of course, many people will start looking at themselves and say that maybe there's something I'm doing wrong and what. Now, of course, that's because that's what people have been taught. Eh? And I'm going to tackle that shortly. But let me just read some of these other, this other feedback. Hi, brother. I thank God for the information that I've had on radio from you, his servant. Ever since I started listening to this information, my prayer life has immensely grown. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. This is precisely the sort of reaction we need when we tell you that we are living in the last days. This person called Innocent goes on to say, I get time to even share this information with some unbelievers, really, and they get shocked, and many of them get changed. May the Holy Spirit continue using you to touch many lives. God bless you, brother. Somebody else here saying here, dear Joseph, I noticed some increase in my financial situation. I thank God for using you to teach us about leaving the Babylonian system. I started contributing towards Andrew Womack's ministry. This is the second month. And in the second month, he's already seeing an increase. Okay, why? Because Andrew Womack's ministry is sound ministry. That is sound ministry, which has an increase. Okay, that is absolutely sound ministry. So he connected to Andrew Womack's ministry. And this gentleman says he's beginning to see an increase. Okay. This is somebody called Alex at Makerere. He said, I tuned into your program last Wednesday on 15th of October. Of course, this is something that he sent a while ago. And I liked your message much as it was hitting me directly. I have to admit that I'm on the road to marriage. Everything is not good. This gentleman says things are not good. Marriage, what? It's just not working out. Okay. And he's been having a problem with his church and saying, what's wrong? I mean, because he doesn't feel they are teaching what they ought to be teaching in terms of the word of God. Now, as I told you, if you go to a restaurant and they give you food and today it causes you a stomach upset, then the next day it causes you to vomit, then the third day it's just bad food. I mean, you don't continue going there. Why? Because you're a wise person. Now, you apply the same logic to a church. If it is not feeding you, if you're not getting fed, and I'm saying this, I don't have a church, by the way, so I am not telling you to come to my church. I don't have any. I am not a pastor, but I'm telling you that just use your logic. You are a child of God, and God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay, it is not just power and love, it is a sound mind. You have to have a mind which is sound, and you say, I am not being fed in this place. Why do I continue coming here if it is not feeding me? So don't just go out of religion. So now this person, I hope they understand that there is nothing wrong with moving away from a place that is not feeding you. If it was a restaurant, you'd not go back immediately. Why go and pay your money to buy food which is going to cause you diarrhea today, tomorrow, and the next day? I mean, or which is going to short circuit your digestive system in one way or the other. You just don't go back. If it happens the first time, because you have a sound mind, you don't go back. But when it comes to church, people try to put away their sense, not knowing that God has given us a spirit of a sound mind. Okay, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. He has not given us a spirit of fear. He has given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and of a sound mind. So you have a sound mind. Use it. Do not put your mind aside just because you are a monopoly. You have a sound mind. Use it. Okay? Somebody saying, just to let you know my status, having listened to your teaching, I picked one phrase from you, which said, God wants for me, not from me. I decided to partner with your ministry before you called it out on air, understanding your tithe and offering teaching and believing for a job. And now, this person says that they called the former workplace, just to say hi and inquire if there was an opening. And surprisingly, they found that there was an opening. And this person got a job back, I think, where they were working, and says that's even paid off all the debtors, because the Bible says the borrower is a slave to the lender, and Jesus has set them free financially. So I've just picked a few. Of course, there's somebody else who sent and told me that they had listened to the grace message and had interpreted it to mean that you should not tithe. Okay? And that is false. If you're listening to a grace message which says that you should not tithe, that is false. I explained to you very well that the tithe that we tithe in the New Testament is not Malachi 3:10 of bring your tithe and your offering in my house that I receive this. Although the benefits mentioned in Malachi 3:10, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake and I will open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing. All those benefits are true for New Testament believers. But it is not the tithe that we tithe. We tithe the tithe of Abraham. And grace people should know that we share a covenant with Abraham. That's why the Bible says he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, which is really the gist of the grace message. You believe in Jesus Christ and you receive righteousness as a gift. Okay? Now, Abraham had a similar covenant where he believed God and it was accounted to him for to righteousness. That's why the Bible says that the blessings, Galatians 3:14, that the blessings of Abraham might come to us in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, usually, why do some people give? Why have some people been giving and not seeing the increase that they ought to be seeing? Now, I'm going to tell you why. First of all, I would say like 80% of the time, it has something to do with the ground where they are sowing. But also, so many other times, it has everything to do with what they believe. In the teachings about prosperity, if you haven't gotten them, please ask for them. If you are, be patient, because there's somebody who does this for me, who gets access to all the emails that are sent, and actually those who are asking for recordings he sends them to them. So if you listen to the June and July recordings, if you didn't listen to the sowing and reaping, your mindset has to be a correct mindset. Okay. So many people give with the mind, and I taught this, so many people give with the mindset of a gambler, okay, or with the mindset of a businessman. I'm not going to go and get into the details of those. Those mindsets don't reap any reward in terms of reaping, okay? If you sow with the mindset of a sower, of a farmer, think about a farmer. In the same way that a farmer is, just think farmer. Every time you're giving, think farmer. Imagine that is a seed, an actual seed. Put it in good ground. It is going to yield an increase. Okay? If you put the seed in bad ground, it will not yield an increase. Not because there's anything wrong with the seed, not because there's anything wrong with you, but because there's something wrong with the ground. Now, so many times, there are people who the mindset changes, and their mindset is not the right mindset. So they are giving, but they don't have confidence that God has promised, and God promises, and He is always true. Now, when you're giving, you say, God, you have promised, and you cannot lie. And you come in faith because God promised. I mean, you just imagine the mindset. That's why the Bible, Jesus said, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a child, you will not enter it. Because imagine, if you're a parent and you're leaving home and your child tells you, Dad, will you bring me this? And you say, yes, I'll bring it to you. That's all he needs to hear. Daddy promised. And he expects it because you promised. Now, he doesn't want to know if you went and had a bad day, if you sold nothing, if you didn't get any money. The child does not want to know details. He just knows you promised. You promised to bring for me this, so where is it? Now, that is the same mindset you go with to God. Fortunately, God cannot have a bad day. He cannot kusirana that day. He is God. So when He promises, He is going to fulfill. Now go with that thing. God, you have promised, and I'm believing. Like a child, I believe that when you promise, you do it. Period. Because you are God and you can never lie. So you get a scripture, you have promised, when I sow, when I tithe, you promised me that I have an increase. Now, of course, now when people are bad ground, they'll start telling you things like what? Usually, to encourage people to continue giving, even when they are not receiving anything, they'll tell you things like, one day, God is going to come out, in a big way for you. You are going to have a big break. There is going to be a big breakthrough. So you've had people saying, Katona agenda COVID. So they create a scenario where there is going to be one big payday. So you continue giving for years and years, you're not seeing an increase because somebody is promising you that there's going to be one big payday. That is not how farmers think. If I plant maize, I expect to see something out after 3 months. God works. You just know this. God, sowing and reaping, that's how God operates. The process, this world operates on buying and selling. God's economy operates on sowing and reaping. He does not sell anything, he does not buy anything. But he sows everything. He sows everything. He had one son, he wanted many sons. He sowed that son and got a whole family of all of us by sowing his son, so to speak. You understand? So he had to give up his son to get all of us as children. Everything that God does is after sowing and reaping. So don't think buying and selling. That is okay for your business. But when we are dealing in the kingdom of God, it is sowing and reaping. Now, think like a farmer. If it is not working, there is nothing. So people start telling you there's going to be a big payday. You know, one day, katonda agenda COVID. Rubbish. There is an increase. It comes slowly. So if you start sowing today, some people have been telling me here about somebody got an increase. He was, I think, earning 200,000. After 2 months of partnering, he got an increase and is now earning a gross of 500,000. That is an increase, slowly. Now, if he continues being faithful in that, it will grow, let's say, to 1 million increase. But people are teaching a false doctrine, a false message, really, giving false hope, really, that you are going to come from 200,000 one day, and suddenly you land on billions of shillings. God would not do that. First of all, it would even destroy you. You are not ready for it. It would destroy your mindset. Many people who have landed on things like that get confused. Either they lose all of it. Some of them even lose their salvation. But God wants to give you a small increase, but immediately. Not, you don't have to wait 10 years and then get a big increase. Okay? You think like a farmer. You plant one debe of maize, you're not going to get 10, 20 trailers of maize. It is not going to happen. When you plant one debe, you'll probably get 30 debes, 60 debes, 100 debes, according to Jesus. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Now, the next time you plant 10, you'll still get an increase accordingly. That's how it works. Now, one of the reasons people don't get increase is because they have been listening to a gospel which makes them think there is something wrong with them. There is something wrong with you. Or something has tied you. What way chako siva? Now, let me tell you this. You have no curse. There is no curse on your life. If you believe it, then you have it. But if you don't have it, because the Bible says that he became a curse for us. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. Jesus Christ became a curse for us, that we might be blessed. Okay? He was killed like a cursed person. That's why he was hung on the tree. He could have been killed so many other ways. There were swords, there were spears, but he had to hang on a tree because that's how cursed people die. So he became a curse for us so that we can be blessed. Then it goes on to say in 3:14 that the blessing of Abraham might come on us in Christ Jesus. Now, if you believe you are cursed, you are going to stand in the way of your own blessings, not because you're cursed, but because you believe it, and because what you believe has to come to pass in your life. Okay? Now, I want anybody to tell me that anywhere in the New Testament that somebody talked about somebody who is cursed, that they were breaking curses. Tell me that Peter, Paul, John, or who was breaking curses in the New Testament. I mean, where do people get that gospel from? First of all, let me tell you, even so-called generational curses. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. He is a new creation. That is the Bible. That is the New Testament. That is the New Testament doctrine. Now, a new creation cannot have old problems. It is new. If I have an old Toyota Corona, okay, and I get rid of it, and I go to Japan, and they make for me a brand new 2014 model, it cannot have the problems of the old one. It is new. So if the old one had an exhaust problem, this one cannot have. It is brand new. So when you got born again, you are brand new, created anew. So what generational curses when I'm new? What generational curses? Haven't you read 1 Peter 2:9, which says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's only holy nation? You are a chosen generation. Your generation started with you. If you read Titus 1:5, it says you have been regenerated. Okay? So you started a new generation of blessed people. If you came from a generation of cursed people, when you got born again, they were cursed because they were not born again. When you get born again, you are regenerated. Your generation starts afresh. Okay? Your generation starts afresh and you are regenerated. And so you're new. You're a brand new creation. A brand new car cannot have problems of an old car. So if I get rid of my old car and I get a brand new car, it cannot have the problems of the old car. It cannot inherit the problems of the old car. It's new. It's straight out of the factory. You understand? So, you can choose to go and believe generational curses. Then show me anywhere in the New Testament where somebody is breaking generational curses. Show it to me anywhere. Okay? But if you believe that, it is going to become true for you, not because it is true, but because you've chosen to believe it. And because you've believed it, it becomes a reality in your life. Because what you believe becomes a reality in your life. So why don't you try believing what God says? I mean, why do you believe what God says? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay? Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now you're saying, I want material blessings. All material blessings come from spiritual blessings. And God blessed you in the heavenly places, in the spirit. So there is nothing tying you. The only thing is that you're either planting in bad ground or what. Just believe what God is saying. You are blessed. It goes on to say in Ephesians, in that same Ephesians chapter 1, the verse I'm quoting is verse 3. It goes on to say all the blessings that with which you've been blessed. And it says you are being given an inheritance. And the guarantee of the inheritance is the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit of you, then in you rather, then you have a guarantee. It's like a land title. He's like a land title. He's a guarantee that you qualify for an inheritance. You are a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Try believing that. Try believing what God says about you. God says wonderful things about you, but people find it easier to believe all the rubbish that people are telling you about your caste, generational curses. So you're going all over churches looking for people to break demons, break generational curses. And you know why they preach that gospel? Because it makes them relevant. If there are no generational curses, some people are going to go out of business. Okay? So they have to keep on propagating a gospel of something is tying you back. I want you learn how to follow results. I want you to tell me somebody who was doing badly financially. And then he went to those places where they tie people on poles, supposedly they break generational curses. Then he went there, and his financial situation turned around, and now he's a millionaire. Tell me one person. I will tell you there is none, because it's a lie. That is not what is holding people back. What you believe becomes your reality. If you believe with God, try believing with God. Try waking up every morning and saying, God has blessed me. I am blessed. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12 and 13 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, the Father has qualified me to be a partaker. It is not me who has qualified myself. He qualified me himself. He said, you are qualified. He called me when I got born again and said, now, Joseph, from today, you are qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance. Now, tell me,
If I go to anybody and tells me I have a generational, I say, why are you disqualifying me when the father qualified me? I am qualified. Why are you trying to disqualify me? I am already qualified. The only qualification is you believe in Jesus Christ. Okay? Somebody was telling me, maybe I'm not doing something right. Let me tell you something. If you're a child of God, do you give your children? I told a lady who told me yesterday, maybe there's something I'm doing wrong, maybe what? And that's what they are telling her, because she's sowing in wrong ground, and the wrong ground she's sowing in is telling her there's something wrong with her. But there's nothing wrong with her. She's born again. She's trying to live a godly life. I'm sure she makes mistakes. But all these promises in the scriptures were written to people who make mistakes like you and me. I want you to understand that. So I told her, listen, you have a child, do you? She has a son. So I told her, do you give your son food on the basis of how he performed at school? So if your child failed school, do you tell him that you're not going to eat food this week because you did not pass well? She said, no. She said, why do you give him food? Because he's my son. Whether he does, I would want for him to perform well in school. But even if he doesn't, I still buy for him clothes. I still feed him. I still clothe him. Okay? So I said, why do you think God is different? Why do you think you love more than God? Do you think you can love your children more than God loves his children? Jesus said that if you being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father? That is sound doctrine. If you being evil know how to give good things to your children, why do you think that God, just because you told a lie yesterday, so now you don't qualify? Okay? So now your business has to collapse because you did something wrong. Okay? So you have to first be perfect before you qualify for God's blessings. If that was the case, then God might as well keep his blessings to himself, because nobody is going to qualify. The only qualification we have is in Christ Jesus. Am I perfect? Yes, because I am in Christ who was perfect. And when God sees me, he does not see me, he sees Christ who was perfect. So I'm perfect as far as God is concerned, and it's there in the Bible. As far as he removed the handwriting of requirements that was required of, that was contrary to me. Okay, and he washed it away, all requirements. You have to do this. He removed the handwriting of requirements. Read Colossians chapter 1. Remove the handwriting of requirements. You are required to do this, to do this, to do this. He removed them, nailed them to the cross. Now, only one requirement. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? If the answer is yes, you are qualified. He has qualified you. Now, if God, if the exam, you are in school. Let's say you are at the university. If the examiner says you have passed, who are you to say you've not passed? God is the ultimate examiner. He says you are qualified according to his word in Colossians chapter 1. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Does it say who is going to qualify us? No, he has already qualified us. Who has qualified us to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints? So you have an inheritance with God. You have an inheritance which is supposed to guarantee you a life of prosperity. God tells you, you access it by giving, by, you know, what you're giving is not to qualify you. It's just an access. It's your way of accessing it. But believe that you already deserve it. You have to first of all believe that you deserve it. I want you to understand one thing. If a rich man dies, okay? Let's say, like, which rich man has died recently? There is this man called Kasi Ukida, was, I don't know, killed, murdered, or run over in Muyenga. Now, he has a lot of wealth in this city. What qualifies people to be be part of the inheritance? If they are his children. If he has a child who is very daft and very stupid, and for me I'm cleverer than him, that child still deserves to inherit. I don't deserve. It is not about the qualifications I have. There is no qualification for inheriting somebody's property. The only qualification is, are you a child? Are you a bona fide child? Legitimate? If yes, you qualify. Whether you're stupid, whether you're tall, you're short, or what, whether you didn't go to, you understand, as long as you're a child, you qualify to inherit. Now, I might be very clever and all that, but if I am not a child of Kasi Ukida, I don't qualify. Simple. There is nothing I can do to qualify. Now, what does that mean? It means, as long as you're a child of God in Christ Jesus, by faith in Christ Jesus, you qualify. Whether there is somebody who is better than you, that's their problem. For you, you're a child in Christ Jesus, and you're qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance. Now, don't let anybody disqualify you that you have generational curses. You're a brand new creation. That's what the Bible says. I mean, I wish you would just listen to what the New Testament says about you. I mean, just read the New Testament and see what it says about you. How good, I mean, the things Paul writes. And is he writing them to whatever? He writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that, you know, you're blessed. You come short in no gift. And you are waiting the revelation of Jesus Christ. Were these perfect people? No, they were not. They had mistakes like you. How do I know? Because he writes about the mistakes in chapter 5. There was even a man who was sleeping with his father's wife, and he talks about that. He talks about how do you take people to court with whom you have disputes in chapter 6. In chapter 7, he talks about marital disputes. So these are people who are, these were churches like the ones we attend. There was nothing special about the Corinthian church. It was the same as the ones we attend. But Paul still writes and says, you come short in no gift, awaiting the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you do not acquire perfection on your own. You acquire it in Christ Jesus. Jesus was perfect. After being perfect, he gave you all his inheritance and said, we are joint heirs with Christ. You know, I was reading a book of a lady who had, it's actually an old book, but this lady went to heaven and basically toured and was taken around by angels and what. But her purpose there was to go, and God wanted to show her the heart of God, to see the heart of God. Now, at the end, towards the end of her tour, she arrives at the throne of God, and she can see the form, but she can't see the eyes. You know, I don't think anybody can see the eyes of God unless you are there. As long as you're still on earth, you can't look into the face of God. But she sees the form of God. Then she's taken there by Jesus. Okay? Now, when they arrive at the throne of God, Jesus says, talking to his father, says, Father, I've brought for you my sister. She's a lady, and mentioned her by name. Okay? I brought for you my sister and mentioned her by name. And the arms of God came off the throne and lifted her up, and he brought her to himself, and she felt the love of the Father. Okay, it's just one of those amazing things. Now imagine myself, Jesus introducing me to his Father and says, Father, I brought for you my brother Joseph. I mean, what a wonderful privilege that God has given us. That's why John says, behold what manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we are called children of God. Now, when God says you're a child of God, it is not just saying it idly. You are a child of God, to the point that Jesus introduces, Father, I've brought for you my sister. I mean, imagine that. What a wonderful God. I mean, how much more can God love? And he writes, they are all in the New Testament. How privileged you are. He says, you who were once afar off have now been brought near. Okay? He says, you who were alienated. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 that you are members of the household of God in Christ Jesus. You are in the household of God. I mean, how do you believe all that generation of us? Now you're what? Then you go, they tie you on trees, then they cane you and cast demons out of you and what? I mean, what kind of rubbish is that? And you're born again, and why don't you just believe what God says? You're blessed. You're blessed when you go out, blessed when you, all those things are true of you. You'll be blessed in the country, blessed in the world. I mean, it even says that the blessings overtake you, that the reapers, the sowers will overtake the reapers. In other words, you're still reaping last season's harvest, but it's already time to sow more. So some grain actually remains in what? It says you'll tear down your barns and build what? You tear down your barns and pour old food to make stock, to make room for the new harvest. In other words, there is no time of lack. You're moving from, before you even completed last season's harvest, you're already harvesting the new season. So there is not a single period. That's what God promised his children. In the Old Testament, it came with so many conditions. If you do this, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this. In the New Testament, it comes with if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is the only if. You are qualified, you're a child, you're qualified. In the Old Testament, there were so many ifs. Now, if you do this, now do if you do that. But so many people, of course, prefer to go there. But you will hear the gospel of, you know, there's something wrong, something has tied you, you are not, you know, blessed enough, you know, there is this, and people are moving around looking for echa musiba, checha kusiba, checha kusiba. And I wish you'd just believe God. Try, let's say, for 2 months, even 1 month. Okay? Try for 1 month. Today is 29th October. Decide that throughout all the period of 29th October, decide that throughout the period of November, I am going to believe what the New Testament says about me, a believer. Read those scriptures with yourself in mind. Okay? Read that, how the grace of God has been opened up for you. Okay? Read how all the blessing of Abraham is yours in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. How Christ became a curse for us, that we shall not be cursed, that we are not cursed. Read what it says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I will not forget the time when the Lord told me, and I used to have this same mindset of reading the Bible, thinking, what should I do? What does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? So I read the word of God, thinking, what does God want me to do? Until one day the Lord told me these words, and they totally revolutionized my life, or my perception of the Bible. He told me that the New Testament is like a will. A will meaning the document that a man leaves to share his property when he's died. That's what it is. It's like a will, like a written will. So whose property are we sharing? A man called Jesus came on earth. He lived perfect. He never committed any sin. He obeyed God in every single way possible. Okay? And he achieved perfection. When he died, he left us to inherit what he had worked for. And he gave us a will called the New Testament. Okay? The epistles. Now, when you read the New Testament with that mindset, I realized that when you read Romans, it's telling you all the wonderful things that you have. Okay? That are yours. I mean, from chapter 3, when it starts talking about grace, all the way up chapter 8, and tells you chapter 9 about the Holy Spirit who has been given to you. Now, when you read... It's only the Corinthians, actually. The Corinthian letters were written as answers to the questions of the church. Paul was answering questions in the church at the time. That's why the Corinthians are kind of different. So he's writing about all those things, spiritual gifts, chapter 12, writing about love, chapter 13, about spiritual gifts, chapter 14, about marriage, chapter 7, about going to court, chapter 6, about immorality in the church, chapter 5. It's basically answering questions about marriage. That's why it even says, concerning marriage, is it okay for a man to marry a virgin? Yes, you know, because those people had asked him a question, and he was answering, they had asked him questions, and he was answering the questions. The same is kind of true for 2 Corinthians, where it talks about, you know, 8 and 9 talks about giving and all the others. But even in 2 Corinthians, I mean, chapter 2, verse 14, I like that. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And he goes on to tell you what wonderful things you have as a result. I've told you 2 Corinthians 5, 17, you're a brand new creation, okay? And all these other things. So, when you move from that and go to the Ephesians, Galatians, he's all telling you beautiful things that you are. Read the epistles of John. He tells you how wonderful things you are, little children. Greater is he that is in you than the devil that is in the world. Some people don't believe that. I mean, you're having bad dreams. I talked about dreams last time. You're having bad dreams. You're having nightmares at night. And you can't rebuke those and cancel whatever is causing those bad dreams. You're not supposed to be having dreams from the devil. You're a child of God. The devil has no... When you have bad dreams from the devil, he's trespassing. Okay? You're not supposed to have dreams from the devil. You're supposed to have dreams from God. So don't let the devil trespass. You have authority. But because you have not yet believed, you have been listening to a gospel which makes the devil look so big. you know, every time the devil is doing this, the devil is doing that. Who cares what the devil is doing when I have the Holy Spirit in me? And greater is he that is in me than the devil that is in the world. I mean, I don't want to hear money of what the devil is doing. What the devil is doing should be of interest to which doctors and what. But you see, in church, people are more interested in what the devil is doing. As if you will go to a witch doctor and he tells you what the Holy Spirit is doing. I mean, where did we get all that imbalance? Since witch doctors are not interested in what God is doing, I am going to be more interested in what God is doing because I'm a child of God. Now, when the devil is doing something, let that be of interest to his children, not to me. I am only interested in what God is doing because greater is he that is in me than the devil that is in the world. John tells you what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. He tells you about the love of the Father. Okay? Peter tells you we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Okay? God's chosen people, that we may show forth the praise of God. Now, when you're living in defeat, you're not showing off praise. When you're broke, you're not showing off praise. But you see, believe what God is saying. Let all people who are under my voice today determine that today, 29th October, from today to the end of November, believe God. Don't believe that you're cursed. Don't believe that something is tying you back, that you're sidanad. Don't believe that that you have a generational curse. Believe that you're chosen, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Believe that you have been accepted among the beloved, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6. Believe that you have an inheritance, okay? Ephesians chapter 1, I believe about verse 8 or 9, no actually, maybe like 12 or 13. Believe all those things, read the book of Ephesians. Believe that you're a member of the household of God in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 2. Believe that you have been saved by grace through faith for good works. Believe that good works were created for you, that you inherit them, that they are yours. Okay? As according to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 9. Believe that God has accepted you among the beloved, that God is not angry with you. Don't ever believe that God is angry with you. If he ever got angry with you, he would be a liar. Because he swore in the book of Isaiah, chapter 54 and verse 9, God swore that he will never be angry at you. So he will never, if somebody tells you God is angry, tell him you are a liar. Because if that person is not a liar, then God would be a liar. And we know God cannot be a liar. So that person who is telling you God is angry is a liar. Because he swore in Isaiah 54 verse 9, he says, this is as the waters of Noah for me, just as I swore that I will never destroy the earth by water, so have I sworn this day that I will not be angry at you, neither rebuke you. Why does he say that? Because of Isaiah 53, which talks about Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was led like a sheep to slaughter. All of chapter 53 talks about Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Chapter 54 talks about the benefits, Isaiah 54, the benefits that accrue to us as a result of Jesus. He says, I will not be angry at you. Why? Because he was angry at Jesus. Was he really angry at Jesus? I mean, it says in chapter 53 that it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to bruise Jesus Christ. Why did it? Because he was carrying all the anger that was meant for you and me. So it pleased the Lord to bruise his own son. Jesus exhausted all the anger. Now, God is never going to be angry at you. Try believing that in the month of November, starting today. Throughout the month of November, believe that God blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Not he's going to bless you. He blessed you. Believe it, confess it, say it every morning, wake up in the morning. Whether you have no money in your pocket, whether you are in what situation, just say, I am blessed. Because that's what the Bible says. Now, it is not going to become a reality for you unless you believe it and accept it and take it. Receive it. I remember when I was reading a book by Kenneth Hagin. I've spoken a lot about that man because I grew up on his books really, and I was at the time when I just got born again, I was feeding on him for breakfast, lunch and supper. What Principles of Financial Prosperity, that's what the book is called, by Kenneth Hagin. And he talks about how he was pastoring a church, and he was doing well because the church was kind of paying him, but
He was broke. I mean, but then the Lord told him, rather, he was okay. Then the Lord told him to leave the church and go and do field ministry, moving from church to church and preaching. And he said, after some time of doing field ministry, he became very broke. His car was very old. He had no extra money. He could not buy his children presents on Christmas. So he told God that you said in Isaiah 1:19 that if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. He said, I am willing and I am obedient. You told me to leave the church and I left the church. But since I obeyed you, nothing is happening. I am broke. Everything is going bad. Then the Lord told him that you are obedient, but you're not willing. He said, God, what do you mean I'm not willing? I am broke. I want money and you say I'm not willing? That's a low blow. So the Lord told him that, you see, my children don't really believe that I want them to be rich. I want them to really prosper and to have an abundance. They don't really believe it. Even gave him an example and told him that you go to the discotheques. The people in the discotheques put air conditioning and they know it has to be there. But he said if a church puts air conditioning like that, the Christians themselves will say it's being extravagant. If there is air conditioning in a discotheque, the Lord told him, why don't my children believe that they're also supposed to have such good conditions? Why shouldn't there be air conditioning in a church so that you go and you worship God in a very good atmosphere, if people are going and doing evil in good atmospheres? So he basically showed him, you see, the people of the world believe they deserve all the good things of the world. That's why they get angry when a preacher becomes rich. The trouble is that even the children of God seem to believe that it's the world which deserves good things, and they don't believe they deserve good things. Now you have to turn your mindset. That's what he told him, you're not willing. Willing means read what God says about you and completely believe it. Believe that you deserve to have the best things in life, because the God who created this world is your Father. If you don't believe that, you're not willing. You have to believe that if God created this world, as indeed he did, then I am a child of God, why shouldn't I have the best things? Okay? You have to have that mindset. That's what took David to go and conquer Goliath. Because people are looking at the size of Goliath. And David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You know, his mindset is different. He's not looking at the 6 cubits and 6 cubits and 6 fingers and what. He's not. He's looking at this uncircumcised Philistine. I'm a child of God. I'm an Israelite of the army of God. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Now, until children of God start believing things like, how can a Muslim stay in a big, powerful house when I, a child of God, I'm in a muzigo? Until you start believing that you are more deserving than any unbeliever, you are still not yet willing. You have to know you are more deserving than it. Just by knowing that, it will not happen the next day. But that is the beginning of you inheriting. You have to first inherit it in your mind and know that you totally deserve it. You are qualified. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 and 13 qualifies you. Okay? Still Colossians chapter 1, I think verse 23 and 24, they about, says the handwriting of requirements has been removed that was against us, that was contrary to us, and has been nailed to the cross. So you are qualified. The requirements, none. Until you totally start, now I'm not going to get back to this, but it's important, but until you really believe that, you are not yet willing and obedient to eat the good of the land. So I want you to understand this. This month, as I conclude, believe God. Believe God this month. Don't deviate. Believe God. Believe what the Bible says. Believe you're deserving. Believe you're blessed. Believe God has chosen you. Believe all those wonderful things. And don't deviate from them. If things go bad, don't stop believing. Don't say, why? What did I do to you, God? And you know, that stupid prayers that people pray. Don't get into that. Even if things go bad, even if you're broke, continue believing. And you see what is going to happen within this last month. Of course, continue sowing as well. And see what is going to happen within this next month. By you simply lining up with what God says and not with what other men say who want to be relevant. But do you know why they say? Because he's saying, come to me, I'm the one who is going to help you remove it. And when you come to him, he asks you for money. So those people are preaching that to remain relevant so that they can get money from you. Believe the Bible. Don't believe them. You're a new creation. Do that for this month and see what difference there is going to be. Now, of course, you can go visit our Facebook page and like it. Like our Facebook page, the Ugandan Watchman, www.facebook.com/UgandanWatchman. Or you can send us an email on UgandanWatchman@gmail.com and I will answer it. Thank you very much. Good evening.
That was The Watchman with fascinating insight into the end times. Join us again next week for another update on Bible prophecy.